doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I can go to him in prayer. Well, he knows my every care. And just a little time. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. When you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Well, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I can go to him in prayer, and he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. One more time together. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will our faintest cry, then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Amen. Aren't you thankful we have a place we can go to?
Amen.
Someone that we can go to in prayer. Amen. That not only hears but answers prayer. Amen. God bless you. Got a testimony we want to read. It says, a few months ago, I had requested prayer for our friends. He suffered from a bipolar condition. I recently spoke with her, and she said that he was well now, as if nothing had ever happened. Just so thankful for how the Lord has touched him, Sister Vera. Amen. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. I want to continue to remember the request we had this morning. I want to continue to remember Sister Dodge, who's in the hospital in Utah, and also Sister Sherry Virgin, not feeling well. I want to continue to remember my little grandniece, Peyton Bryant, that's in the hospital. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you just come this evening and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
You're thankful we have someone to go to. Amen. Just thinking of the song that Brother Furman led this morning. I couldn't get it off my heart all day. Jesus said in St. John the 14th chapter, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He did not say I'm one of the ways. He did not say I'm a form of truth. He did not say I have life. You know, other people might have life. But he was very emphatic. Billy Graham once said, God can condemn the entire world on that scripture alone. It's either the truth or it's the biggest imposter that's ever been thrust upon mankind. I believe it's the truth tonight. I don't believe there's any life outside of Jesus Christ. I don't believe there's any other way but Jesus Christ. I don't believe there's any other truth but Jesus Christ. And I'm glad tonight that I know Him personally. I know some of you, you're friends of mine, but I know Him better than I know anybody. He's closer to me. He's a better friend than my wife is. And He's never once let me down. I've let friends down before. I've let her down before. But Jesus Christ has never let me down. He's always been true to His word. That's why we can go to Him tonight with these prayer requests. That's why we can have confidence, Brother Jimmy, that when we pray, He hears us. I'm not supposed to preach tonight, I know. Just, it was on my heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we're thankful to know that You are the way, the truth, and the life. We're thankful, Lord, dear Jesus, that it wasn't something that a man taught us one day, but Lord, it's something that was revealed to us. And that revelation holds us firm, Lord, upon Your word. As Brother Nathan said this morning about that incorruptible seed, Lord, we had a word birth one day. We didn't have a Pentecostal birth. We didn't have a message birth, but we had a word birth. Oh, Heavenly Father, and because of that, we're rooted and grounded upon the very truth, the life, and the way of Jesus Christ. Lord, You said that we could come boldly before the throne of grace and truth. You said that we could make our petitions known, Lord, to You. And that's what we come for tonight, Lord. We've worshiped You and invited Your presence into this building. And Lord, we know that You're here because Your word declares it. Now, Lord, while we're in Your presence and while, Lord, this atmosphere is charged with the Holy Ghost, we can come to You and we can ask for this sister, Lord, in Utah. We can ask for this young baby, Lord, in a hospital in Philadelphia. Lord, we can't go to Utah right now. And we can't be in Philadelphia right now. But Lord, Your angels and Your presence have no boundaries, Lord. You don't have to have visas. You don't have to have passports. You don't have to have permission to walk into a hospital room in Philadelphia and touch a young child. You don't have to have permission, Lord, to go into a hospital in Utah and change the situation. Heavenly Father, we're asking, knowing, Lord, dear Jesus, that You've already paid for it and taken care of it at Calvary. Now we just are coming tonight to draw upon the bank account of heaven and say, Lord, here's one of your seed that's in need. We believe that with all of our heart, Lord. We believe that they're Your seed. Heavenly Father, something witnesses down inside of us. Something draws, Lord, Your God, upon that bank account of heaven and says, Father, we're writing a check in the name of Jesus Christ. And we believe for a testimony to come forth, Lord. Lord, we ask for our sister Sherry Virgin tonight, Lord, that You would reach down in that home, Lord. Touch our sister, Lord. Strengthen her. Lord, encourage her. Heavenly Father, let her know that she's missed when she's not here in our midst. Oh, Lord Jesus, now we look forward to the word tonight. We look forward to what You have, Lord, in store for us. We're hungry souls, Lord. We're reaching out for more of You. And we ask that Your word would come and satisfy, Lord, that longing that we have down on the inside to be more like You. We just turn this service over to You. We yield ourselves to You for whatever You see fit to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Isaac Weber.
God bless you. Amen. Thank God I'm free. Amen. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus.
I've been born again.
I'm saved, saved. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight. like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar that found fortune in faith. I'm so glad that I found out that he could bring me out through his holy name. Amen. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. Been born again.
Sure, appreciate that, Brother Isaac. Well done. Let's try this song tonight. It's 65 in your hymn book. Another song that I've really only heard the prophet sing, but we're going to try it tonight. I think you guys know it. Just help me sing it. I've got a father over yonder. I've got a father. Some bright day I'll go and see him. Some bright day I'll go and see him. On the other shore, oh, won't that be a happy meeting? Won't that be a happy meeting? Won't that be a happy meeting? On the other shore, oh, that bright day might be tomorrow. That bright day might be tomorrow. That bright day might be tomorrow. On the other shore, well, I've got a father over yonder. I've got a father over yonder. I've got a father over yonder. On the other shore. Amen. Love singing those hymns that the prophet sang. This is 152 in your hymn book.
Oh, when my Savior calls, I will answer. Oh, when he calls for me, I will hear. Oh, when my Savior calls, I will answer. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh,
listening for my name. Oh, if my robe is white when he calls me, oh, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, oh, I'll be someone. Let's stand for my name. Calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Amen. Is that how you feel tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you very richly. Brother Isaac, that was a good Father's Day gift for you. Amen. I really enjoyed that, seeing him up here and singing that with you. It's very precious. And Brother Lauren, I was talking about you this morning, even though you weren't here. I know you didn't have a ride at church this morning, but I was using that word temporal. And so I corrected that this morning. Amen. God bless you. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. If you turn with me this evening, St. Matthew, chapter 16. Brother Layton got ahead of me this morning when he was up here praying, and Brother Hoover got ahead of me tonight talking about Revelation. So, amen. That's good confirmations. St. Matthew, chapter 16, and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, I know when we had Brother Branham preach last Sunday night on the forgotten Beatitude that you thought we was done with the Beatitudes. But Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, Barjona." This is the same word he uses in the Beatitudes, and we'll look at it several different ways here. But "Blessed art thou, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Didn't say they might prevail against it, said they shall not prevail against it. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne this evening, Father, I just ask that you take complete control of this service. Lord, may you just have complete control of every aspect, Father, the singing, the preaching, Lord, the worship. Lord, may you just have complete control. Lord, we commit the service into your hands. Lord, may you have preeminence, Father. May you do, Lord, what you would desire for the service. Lord, may it not be our desire or our thoughts, but Lord, may it be your desire. Lord, how we thank you for your presence here as we've sang the songs of Zion, Lord, and to come out and feel your presence here already tonight. Lord, we know that you promised you'd be with us, for you said wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, Lord, that you'd be in our midst. So we know that you're in the midst of the service tonight. Lord, we also know that Satan comes to every service to try to upset and confuse and do anything that he can. But Father, we know that you have power over him, that he's a defeated enemy. Amen. And so, Lord, we're just depending on you tonight, Father. We just commit the service into your hands, Lord, because we have no more capable hands to commit them to than to yours. Lord, not only the service, not only the word, not only the singing, but every person that's here tonight, Lord, we commit them to your hands. Lord, every situation that they're facing, every circumstance, Lord, we commit it to your hands, Father. Lord, we appreciate doctors and we appreciate businessmen, different ones that would have wisdom and opinions, Father. But Lord, we commit it to your hands tonight. Every circumstance that we face, Lord, we're not depending on our own intelligence or our own ability, but we're depending on you tonight for all that we have need of, Lord. And we realize that everything that we have, whether it be financial, whether it be health, whatever it would be, we only have it because that you've permitted us to have it, Father. We thank you for our many blessings tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. We've been looking for a while here at the Beatitudes, and we've been looking at this thought of supremely blessed. And that word beatitude means, excuse me, supreme blessedness, supreme blessedness. Now, Jesus, he's using this same word that he used in the Beatitudes. He tells Simon, he says, blessed art thou, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Your daddy didn't teach it. Your mommy didn't teach it. Your granddaddy didn't teach it to you. But my Father that was in heaven taught it to you. I want to tell you tonight, if you ever got a true revelation, you may have caught it with your auditory senses listening to a tape. You may have caught it with your auditory senses listening to a preacher or listening to a good inspired song or listening to somebody testify. You may have recognized it with your auditory senses that way, but for it ever to become a revelation to you personally, the Holy Spirit had to drop down into your heart and say, that's right, what you're hearing is correct. It was the Holy Spirit that gave you the revelation. St. Paul said when he went to study there, he said, I wasn't given this by man or by the wisdom of man. He said, but I was given it by the Holy Ghost. He said, I wasn't taught it. It wasn't given to me by flesh and blood. He didn't go and learn it in some school. He didn't have somebody explain it to him. But the Holy Spirit quickened to him what he was hearing. Amen. So it's not just enough to be hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word. We want the Holy Spirit to come and quicken it to us. Matthew chapter 13, verse 16, Jesus uses this word again. He says, but blessed are your ears, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He was talking about those that he said that this is the ones that the prophet had spoke of that said, seeing they won't see and hearing they won't hear, even though they have eyes and even though they have ears, they won't be able to see and they won't be able to hear. But he said, you're blessed because your eyes see and because your ears hear. He said, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. I don't think he was just speaking to the little group in Galilee there, but I can say by experience tonight, we're blessed tonight. Amen. We're blessed because this wasn't given to us. Brother Bram said he was quoting another brother there, but he said God doesn't have any grandchildren. I think it was David Duplessis, he said, that originally said it. God doesn't have any grandchildren. That's absolutely right. Amen. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that your children get in just with the free bill of sales, but what it is, they have to have an experience. They have to come the same way that you did. You had to have the new birth. Not your parents might have been good people. Your grandparents might have been good people, but you had to have the new birth for yourself and as an experience, and we're blessed tonight. We're blessed that we didn't get grandfathered in on this deal, but that God came and gave us a personal relationship, that it wasn't taught us by men or by teachers or by some society or something. That's all right. That's okay. We have to hear it by our auditory senses somehow, but for it to become a revelation, it's more than just hearing of the ear. If it's not, then Satan got in okay, if it's just hearing it. We'll look at it a little later in the service. If it's just believing it, then Satan should be able to get in, because the Bible said he believes and trembles. Oh my, that's more than a lot do. Some of them believe, but it doesn't tremble them very much. It doesn't scare them or bother them or upset them very much. They don't realize sometimes the sincerity and the urgency of it. But Satan believes and trembles. Amen. Satan's heard more anointed preaching than you'll ever hear. He's heard it from Adam to Moses to St. Paul to the Lord Jesus himself in flesh, Wesley, Luther, Finney, Knox, Calvin, Sinkey, Branham, everyone down through the ages. He stood right there in the prayer line. Every prayer line that Brother Branham was in, the devil was in too. He was standing right there trying to hinder, trying to prevent. He's seen more miracles than any of us will ever see.
Right.
You come too late to convince him that God's not real. He sits back and laughs at a lot of these atheists. He's convinced that God isn't real and that the devil isn't real. Oh, he's convinced them intellectually, but he doesn't believe it. He's seen God face to face. He was right there, his right-hand man in the kingdom, an archangel standing there before him day and night. He knows he's real. He was just jealous of him. He wanted to lift up his kingdom and be likened to him, but he never believed himself that he didn't exist. You'd come too late to tell Satan that. You've come too late to tell Satan that God didn't send a prophet in this age. He stood right there, prayer line after prayer line, and got cast out. You might convince a lot of people that Brother Branham wasn't a prophet, but you'll never convince Satan.
Right.
Isn't that sad? He's convinced his own followers that God doesn't exist, that men of God aren't anointed, but yet he don't even believe that himself, Brother Jimmy.
Right.
He believes these things and trembles. Blessed are your ears. Blessed are your eyes. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Let me bring it down to 2017. There's many down through the church ages that would have loved to have sat and hear Paul's voice. There's many that would have loved to have sat and heard a sermon that Paul preached and the anointing and the discernment and the vindication. There's many that would have liked to have seen a picture of Moses with the pillar of fire like we have with Brother Branham. There's many that would have liked to have seen a picture of Paul when he was down there on the road to Damascus. And he said he was smote down by a light and it was so real to him that it blinded him. But the men that were standing right there with him said, "We didn't see any light." Oh, Paul, isn't that going to hinder your testimony? Isn't that, how can you explain that? That there could be others standing right there and you see the light and it be so real that you claim it blinded your eyes, and that a man named Ananias, God sent him down the road to pray for you. Even though he was a little scared of you because of your history, but God sent him down the road to pray for you and your eyes came open. Oh my, how are we going to believe you, Paul, when there was men standing right there, didn't even see it with their eyes? There's many that desire to see what you've seen and hear what you've heard.
Amen.
Blessed are you tonight.
Yes.
St. John chapter 20, verse 24. There was a man one time, he had to see it to believe it. You know, they say seeing is believing, but my, there's a lot of optical illusions and things that what you think you're seeing may not be. You get out here in a desert somewhere and you get thirsty and you're looking for water. Looks like there's a lake out in front of you about the size of Lake Cumberland. You get there and get ready to dive in. You dive right into the sand. What is it? It's a mirage.
Right.
Satan paints a lot of mirages. So just seeing isn't believing. Just hearing isn't believing. It's got to come down more than that. It's got to be a revelation to you personally. Oh my, but once you come across the little oasis there and you begin to drink of the water, you'll never be able to have anybody convince you that that's not water, because you've experienced it for yourself.
Amen.
You didn't just see it. You didn't just hear about it. Your grandmammy and your grandpappy didn't just happen to be in some meetings and bring back some testimonies. But when you experience that same God for yourself, there's nobody that'll ever convince you, because you've already drank of the water.
Hallelujah.
Oh, there's a lot of them drinking the Kool-Aid today, Brother Hoover, but we drank of the water.
All right.
St. John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, can you imagine this man? He was a disciple and he had stood right there with Jesus. He had seen some of the great miracles. Maybe he had been there when Lazarus came forth. He had been there. He was called one of the 12. He had been there when the water was turned to wine, the very first miracle. Things that such as people hadn't seen since before the foundation of the world. Blind from birth. Their eyes coming open. They said, "This hasn't been done since the beginning of the earth." And this man stood there and witnessed these type of things, saw these type of things in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there. He was one of the ones that took the baskets, Brother Hoover, and he picked up the leftovers. He was one of the ones that Jesus sent out. And when Jesus began to break of the fish and began to break of the bread, he didn't give it directly to the people, but he gave it to the disciples. And then the disciples began to distribute it out to the people. And there was so much of it, from these two little fish and five loaves of bread, that they had to take up 12 baskets full. And he went around and maybe he scratched his head. Maybe he couldn't understand it. Maybe he couldn't explain it. But he was there and saw it with his own eyes. He felt it with his own hands, this fish that was being created. Brother Bram said, Christ stood there and multiplied creation. He was there and he did that. He was there and he said at the Last Supper, and he heard the things that Jesus would say, how that he would have to be crucified with wicked hands, but how he would raise again on the third day, and all the different things. He'd heard the testimonies of the women that came from the tomb, but the scripture said all these things seemed like fables unto them. Mm-hmm. And he missed a very important service. You know, maybe it was a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. Oh my. Oh, just another Wednesday night or a Sunday night service. We got too many things. We're too busy. We're too tired. We got this. We got that. But he missed something very important that happened. Many times we miss some things that are important. Maybe many times we miss healings and miraculous things. And many times we miss a service right when the very thing that's being said that should have been, we should have been there to hear it. It was just what we needed to hear, but we missed it because we was too busy at a t-ball practice or something. Uh-oh. Maybe, I don't know where Thomas was, but he missed it. He missed one of the greatest events that had ever happened. A man raised from the dead in the grave after almost 72 hours. He said, before 72 hours, before corruption sets in, I'll raise. And there he laid in the grave Friday night, all day Saturday, all Saturday night. But Sunday morning, it didn't matter how many Roman soldiers tried to hold him. Didn't matter how many chains they put around the stone. Didn't matter how many Roman soldiers they set at the gate. He was coming out of there because the word said he was going to come out of there. And Thomas, when Jesus comes and he meets with the disciples the first time, Thomas missed the service. He missed one of the greatest things that had happened. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This is one of those show me Christians, you know. You got to show it to me. You got to prove it to me. Must have been from Missouri, I guess. You've got to show me. You've got to explain it to me. I wonder how many, if you would go on your job and begin to tell some of the things that God has done. We won't even start with Brother Branham's ministry, the miraculous things that was done, 7 truckloads of wheelchairs and crutches and things, and children with water heads shrank down to be normal, and children with legs short be lengthened, and the dead raised 10 times that we have on record in the message, just on the quotes and things, and at least 10 times in his ministry the dead was raised and all these things. Let's not totally just snowball him under. Let's just start with something small, some of the things he's done in the last couple of years for our church.
All right.
When Brother Isaac Weber walked into the storefront there with a broken foot on crutches, and he just broke it in a car wreck, and he walked out without any crutches. People that wasn't there, you'd have to show them. Oh, we don't believe something like that would happen. Little Olivia Harambasic, when the x-rays showed that she had scoliosis and her spine looked like that, and then the next x-rays showed it perfectly straight. Most people won't believe something like that, but when you show them the x-ray before and after, I don't know what they can say about it. But many of them you have to show them. To show the test results of a brother that had hepatitis B at one test, and then after prayer and praying the prayer of faith, didn't have it after the next test. You have to show some of them, but thankfully, even science has proven what God is doing in this age.
Amen.
Even science testifies. They try to prove him wrong with science, Brother Hoover, and they just keep proving him right over and over and over. They've tried to prove him wrong with history. They said, oh, Pontius Pilate never existed. King David never existed. Jericho didn't have the walls like they talked about. There was no great falling of the walls. And history and all these great educated men that had read great history books and things, they said it never happened because we haven't heard about it. We haven't seen it. But then archaeologists began to dig a little deeper and found out, you know what? It did happen. Amen. You know, and it was all right. You know, maybe to some of those people, they had to scratch their head and eat some crow and say, well, you know, I guess we were wrong. But blessed are you because you believed without seeing all that. Hey man, I didn't have to have a scientist come and show me a rock, or I didn't have to have an archaeologist come and show me an inscription. When the Bible said it, I already believed it.
Amen.
Hey man, they don't have to come and show me some x-ray of Jonah in the belly of the whale. I believe it happened.
Amen.
St. John chapter 24, we're trying to move on here. The other disciples, verse 25, said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus. Oh my. What a service. I don't care how hard you preach. I don't care how good you sing, or how good a tape you pick. Until Jesus comes, it's not a very good service. But when he comes, and he begins to quicken those things. He begins to quicken the preaching of the word. He begins to quicken the playing of the tape. He begins to quicken the singing of the song. When Jesus comes, something's going to take place.
Amen.
Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Now how did he know what Thomas said in a private room with 10 other men? How did he know what was said? He knew what Thomas was going to say before the foundation of the world. Thomas, this is what you require. Come here. I'll wink at your ignorance. I'll baby you. If you're going to be a spiritual baby, I'll give you whatever it takes. Come here. Let me build your faith. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Here you go, Thomas. This is what you asked for. Don't sit there and disbelieve. I'll give you an avenue for you to have it.
Amen.
And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now he begins to recognize. Now his eyes begin to see and his ears begin to hear. And he begins to recognize, this is my Lord and my God. This same revelation that Peter had before he was dead, now Thomas begins to get it. Now that he's been able to touch and handle and feel and see, and some of it's been explained to him. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen.
I don't like to pick on Brother Yarbrough and Brother Layton, but I'm more blessed than them tonight. Amen. I'll include Brother Lauren and Sister Lori in it, even though Sister Lori may not remember it. They were in the meetings. Brother Branham dedicated Sister Lori, and It Is the Rising of the Sun, 1965. Brother Lauren and Brother Layton, Brother Yarbrough got to be in many of the meetings. I didn't get to be there. I didn't get to see some of the miracles, but I still believe.
Amen.
I'm much more blessed than those that sat there. Many of them even came through the lines and was healed themselves and walked away and didn't recognize what took place. We're more blessed than them tonight.
Amen.
Amen. We're blessed because even though we didn't see, yet we believed it anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. I believe because I've seen what it produces. I've seen that the same God still produces the same things. The same God is still quickening. The same God is still healing. The same God is still saving. The same God is still filling with the Holy Ghost. Don't you question some of these things? I mean, we have no death certificate to prove that Lazarus died and was raised from the dead. Doesn't that bother you? Don't you need to prove that? Absolutely not. I believe it. Because I've seen what the rest of the word says. I've seen it be fulfilled. I've seen what it produces. Why should I doubt that? Oh, well, what about this that Brother Branham said? What about that that Brother Branham said? Don't you need proof? No, I don't.
Amen.
Amen. He's already been vindicated.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to vindicate every single time he turns around and sneezes. I've seen him vindicated. Amen. An angel of God came down and made himself known with him, had his picture taken with him, discerned the thoughts and intents of the heart, miracles and signs and wonders following. And more than that, it took right back to the original word, what the word said.
Amen.
It's been vindicated for me. I don't listen to every paragraph and sentence and question and critique and wonder whether it's right or wrong. I've already followed a vindicated messenger. Amen. I don't have to continually vindicate him service after service. It's not my job to vindicate him. He's already been vindicated. Revelations chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. So if you was blind or uneducated and you couldn't read, you're blessed because you can hear it. But you're blessed whether you read it or whether you hear it. You hear people argue, I don't like to listen to the tapes. I'd rather read the books. Oh, I don't like to read the books. I'd rather listen to the voice. You're blessed either way.
Amen.
Amen. It's the word either way, whether it's in print form, whether it's in voice form. We're just blessed to have it tonight.
Right.
Amen. Whether you're listening to Alexander Scorby or whether you're reading it with your own eyes, you're blessed tonight. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. But there, it goes a little further. And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You're blessed to hear it. You're blessed to read it. But if you stop there, from a blessing, it turns to a curse. There's many that have it on their shelves and they've heard it and they've read it. There's many that'll take this same Bible that we do, that we pack under our arm and call infallible. They'll take that same Bible and say there's fault. They'll say that there's discrepancies. They'll say that there's contradictions. They'll say that there's all kinds of things. Looking at the same Bible that you are, they can take the same Scofield Bible and the same things that you turn the pages to and rest your soul on and have seen God work miracles and signs and wonders through by placing your faith in those same scriptures. They'll come and try to find a contradiction and an error in it somehow, looking at it with the same type of eyes, listening to it with the same type of ears. But it takes more than that. It takes hearing it with a revelation down on the inside.
Amen.
Once you receive a revelation of it, you won't just listen, you won't just look and see, but you'll put it into action. You'll keep the things that are written therein. Why? For the time is at hand. I want to remind you tonight, the time is at hand. It's not playing around time. It's not falling asleep time. I don't want to be one of those that slumbered and slept, but I want to be one of those that recognize that there's been a cry that's gone out in this age. There's been a cry that's gone out. Wake up, little bride. Come out of her. Stop your playing around. It's not playing church time. It's going home time.
Amen.
The hour is at hand. Oh, my. Revelations chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Again, Revelations 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Oh, we're blessed if we can do his commandments.
Right.
Amen. Jesus said, you love me if you keep my commandments.
Right.
It's one thing to sit back and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and then go out and live any kind of life you want. But it's another thing. He said, if you really love me, you keep my commandments. You know, people say, well, Brother Bam said all that he loved and all that loved him would be there. And I sure love that prophet, so I'm going to be there regardless of what I do or how I live or what kind of activities I perform or you know, what my lifestyle looks like. I'm going to be there because I sure love that prophet. That's not what he said. He said, if you love me, you do what I say. If you love me, you'll do what I say. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Psalm 106 verse 3, blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteous at all times. Psalm 119 verse 1, I won't read you the whole chapter tonight. It's the longest one in the Bible, but blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. St. Luke chapter 11 verse 27. And it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Now, here this woman that was part of the company, she's going to try out her own beatitude now. Jesus never said this, yet she's using the same word that he used in the Beatitudes. Oh, blessed. Let's read it again. Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Now that's some good Catholic doctrine right there that she was starting off with. Yes, where all this Mary worship stuff started, it started right there. She was going to say, oh my, blessed was the womb, and blessed was the paps, and blessed is this woman that bore you. She was a good woman preacher, starting off and starting her doctrine, but he corrected it real fast with his own beatitude. He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now this word blessed that he keeps using through the Beatitudes and through the New Testament here, the different New Testament scriptures that we've read, is a Greek word, makarios, which means blessed or happy. It's the same word that he uses when he's talking to them about the foot washing. And he says, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And happy are you if you do them. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. It's that same word, blessed, makarios. Blessed are you if you do these things. If you know them, that's all right. But go a little further than just knowing them. Happy are you if you do them. James chapter 1 verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I want to tell you, it's not just enough. I know there's a lot of people around the message. There's even pastors that teach that the evidence of the Holy Ghost is just being able to open up a church age book and read a few paragraphs and say, I believe it. The devil can do that. The devil can do that. It's not just to be a hearer of the word. It's not even just to be a believer of the word. It's to be a doer of the word. Because if you really truly believe it the way that you say that you did, if I said, you know, oh my, I believe California is going to sink and buy me some oceanfront property down there and live in it, I kind of have to question whether I really believe that or not.
Right.
Oh my, she's going under. A prophet of God said the earthquake's going to come and just take this thing over. Well, I'd be moving east if I were you.
Right.
If we really believed some of the things like we said that we did, we would put into action. If you said, oh my, you pulled up, you know, you got a brand new vehicle, it's all waxed up and shined up, and you got the chrome all polished on the wheels, and you got your tires all shined up, and you got everything just straightened up, and you got the inside all cleaned up and dusted, and everything's looking good, and you pull it out on the top of the railroad tracks there, and you said, I believe there's a railroad, a train that comes, a big locomotive with about 50 cars that comes through here in about 3 minutes. And you just put her in park and shut off the engine, I don't think you really believe it. You might intellectually think so, and you might be saying it with your words, but if you really believed it, you'd be getting off those tracks as fast as you could. People say, oh, I believe Jesus is coming and living any kind of life they want to. I don't think they really believe it. Oh, they might believe he's coming in 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, and they have plenty of time to prepare. But if we really believed it in the way that we say we do, we would be living a life that was ready. We would be living a life that if he came, we wouldn't have to quickly turn off the television and say a 5-minute prayer before we was ready for him to come. That we wouldn't have to repent of what we was doing and say, oh, forgive us, Father, for our slothfulness and for wasting our time and for our activities and the worldly entertainments that we're doing. I didn't mean for you to catch me in this condition.
Amen.
It is still on tonight, isn't it, Brother Hoover? Okay, I just wanted to check. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's like a lot of churchgoers. We get to church and we sit there and we look into the mirror of the word and we say, oh my, look at the condition that we're in. Oh my, we better fix this and we better straighten that up. And oh my, this here isn't appropriate, and we better get this out of our life. And oh goodness, thank you, Lord, for convicting me by the preaching of the word. Thank you, Lord, for convicting me by that tape that we heard. I looked right in the mirror and I saw what I was, and my, I've got some fixing up that I need to do before I get home. And then we go out on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and we forget what the mirror was telling us.
Amen.
He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Oh, it's one thing to sit under conviction and say, I'm going to do it because the presence of God is there. It's another thing to go out and do it on Monday when you don't feel his presence all over you. It's one thing to do it when you're shouting and dancing and feeling His presence, feel like, oh my, right now with the Holy Spirit here, I could put my arm around my worst enemy and tell him I love him and ask him to forgive me. And then you get out on the job Monday and you're ready to hit your boss upside the head. What is it? You went out and you forgot what the mirror was telling you. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. You want to be blessed tonight? Do what the word said. You want to be blessed tonight? Don't dilly-dally and don't try to scrape by the skin of your teeth and don't try to just live as close to the edge as you can. Well, Brother Branham said this, but I think it's okay to go a little bit further and do this over here. And, you know, the Apostle Paul taught it this way, but I think just to trim my hair a little bit would be okay. He said, if you're going to cut it at all, just let it be shorn. We'd sure have a lot of bald-headed message women if we did that. Slick as a cue ball, balder than a lot of you brothers. They should be walking around there. What happened to you? Well, I didn't listen to what Paul said, and this is what happened. They say, oh, it's just to trim it isn't to cut it. Well, you need to go back and look at your Webster dictionary again. Oh, just to trim it, that's not to cut it. Go back and look what the prophet said. He said, even a lock, not even a lock. Samson, they didn't have to buzz him clean. He just wasn't supposed to cut his hair. Amen. Didn't matter if they took off one lock or if they buzzed him clean. It was cut. You go back and you look at some of those words in the New Testament when Paul's talking there, it means uncut. Amen. We don't go by a measuring stick. There's some sisters, their hair's just down to their shoulders or maybe just to their collar, but they haven't cut it, and it's just as long as some of you that's dragging the floor. You say, that's not long hair. Absolutely it is. It's uncut. Amen. If your hair's down to your knees and it's cut that much, she's got longer hair than you in God's eyes. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Amen. You say, oh, but Brother Nathan, I do this. I read 10 chapters a day, and I listened to 3 tapes, and I prayed for 5 hours, and I did all these things. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to be a hearer, but let's be a doer. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful to hear what the word says. Without that, we wouldn't know what the truth was. We have to have an absolute. We have to have a measuring line that we go by so that we know. We have to have a looking glass that we can look into and see how our life is comparing. Amen. But what good does it do to have a looking glass and then not do anything about what you're seeing in the reflection? Amen. Say, oh my, well, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but my husband wants me to. Fooey with your husband. You see, I thought Brother Bram said that the husband was the head of the house. That's right. And he said, if your husband tells you can't go to church or you got to cut your hair or wear your pants, he said, we have a higher head. We have a higher boss than that. Amen. You go right along with what your husband says as long as it doesn't contradict what this says. Amen. Well, I'm just getting in trouble more and more as the day goes by, ain't I, Brother Hoover? Amen. I'm the authority in my house as long as I stay with the word. But if I get outside of the word and tell my wife to do something that's not in the word, I would hope that she would have enough Christian Holy Ghost about her to stand up and say, I love you, honey, and I respect you, and I respect your place in the house, but I'm not going to go do these things that are unscriptural. Amen. Some of you sisters, if you would do that, your husbands would have more respect for you. Romans chapter 2, verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. I don't want to just sit and hear it. All that'll do is condemn me at the end and say, you heard it, you knew better. I want to go out and be a doer of what the word says. James chapter 2, 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You say, oh my, I believe God sent a prophet. Bless God, I believe that little humble Kentuckian. I believe God sent a prophet. You're doing well. You're doing just as well as the devils because they believe the same thing. But you got to take it a step further than that. The Tolkien, 1963, Brother Bram says, now look, just to believe it is not enough. Now, I know a lot of people around the message don't teach that, but that's what he said, 63, 09, 01, after the seals, whatever your argument is. Now look, just to believe it is not enough. Not to walk around where it's at is not enough. See, that's to make yourself worse. What did Peter say? There'd be some of them, they would have been better off if they never heard it. Because they heard and then they went like a dog back to its vomit. They came out of all this corruption and pollution and they came and they saw the truth and they drank from the waters of life and then they went back out and drank their vomit that they came out of. They would have been better off if they had never known anything about it. To walk around where it's at isn't enough. See, that's to make yourself worse. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. See, those borderline believers, Jesus spoke of the same thing. Again, the true vine and false vine, 1955. You see, he was teaching the same thing way back in 55. I guess I'm simple and ignorant, but I just take it all, whether it's in 47, whether it's in 57, whether it's in 65. I know a lot of them come up with some of these quotes. I don't know where they came up with them from. They must be coming up with them from 66 or 67 or 73 or 95 or somewhere, but I don't take those that aren't on tape. You know, somebody's opinion. Brother so-and-so said way back, or sister so-and-so said that she thought. I don't take those quotes. But the ones between 47 and 65, what he said, I'll stay with what he said. Because he said to stay with the tape teaching. Amen. Anybody else's opinion, that's all right, but that's not my absolute. I'm going to stay with what the Word of God says. He says, true vine and false vine, 55. Those who only know you by the conception of the Word, let them know that Cain believed the Word. Judas believed the Word. The devil believes the Word. But a man's got to be born again of the Spirit of God. He says again, have not I sent thee, 1962. And when God plants his promise in you and it becomes a living reality, then something's different. You just don't go and say, yes, I believe it. Now that's all right. The devil believes it like that. But it's confirmed to you and the word becomes alive in you. Then you begin to see what it is. Just to be associated around it, just to be, you know, as we say, around the message, that's not enough. Just to be in the message, that's not enough. The message has got to be in you. Amen. Hey, man, it's got to be more than just on your shelf. It's got to be in your heart. Amen. It's got to be anchored down to where the shifting sands of man's ideas and opinions and what they're writing on websites and news articles and things like that, that it can't shake you from it because it's more than just words that you heard. It's a revelation that God gave you and quickened those words that now you can look and you can see it from Genesis to Revelations, and no matter what man would get up and try to say this or that or the other, you can't be swayed by it because you see what it's done in you. You see what it's performed in you. That's more than just a, well, I believe it. You know, there were 2 million people that came out of Egypt and they were following a vindicated prophet of God. Right. 2 million people walked out of there. You couldn't have convinced one of them that God didn't send a prophet. Absolutely not. Here they had seen the plagues. Here they had seen the signs and the wonders. They had seen the stick been thrown down, picked up, turned into a serpent, turned back again. They had seen him put his hand in his side and bring it out leprosy and put it back and bring it out clean again. They had seen locusts. They had seen hail. They had seen death and pestilence and darkness. They had seen all these different things. You couldn't convince them God didn't send a prophet. And they walked right out and they wandered around for 40 years. And they wandered and they wandered and their shoes never wore out. And their clothes never wore out, and they didn't have a new hat to wear every Sunday morning. And they didn't have a new outfit to wear every Easter. They didn't have a new pair of shoes every month, but the ones that they had didn't wear out. God has a way of providing for his people. God will provide for his people. And they saw that. They got thirsty and they began to complain and to murmur. And I don't mean no offense to Brother Joshua or Sister Leah, but they was wanting the leeks back in Egypt. They was wanting the garlic and things back there, and they began to look for those things. They said, oh my, we'd rather go back to that. At least we wasn't starving to death out here. At least we wasn't thirsty. And Moses said, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And water came out of a rock. Brother Bram said it was the most unlikely place for it to have come from. All these people saying, oh my, the message is too unscientific, and squirrels being spoken into existence and storms being spoken out and tumors and things. We just can't accept that. That's too unscientific. My, then you must have missed that part about 2 million people drinking from a rock in a desert. That's pretty unscientific, but I believe it.
Amen.
Philip was asking us on the way to church tonight. We was talking about the different things that the doctors were saying. Philip said, are the doctors wrong? Does she not have those things? I said, no, Philip, the doctors are looking by all that they know how to see. I said, you know, when Rebecca sliced her finger open a couple years ago, and she should have had stitches by science and medical and all these different things, it would have scarred and it would have just continued to bleed as deep as it was and everything. But on the way to church, God just healed it and it folded right back over. Not a scar, not a scratch, not a nothing. I said, every good doctor would have told her, you need to go get stitches. And they would have been right. But the great physician came on the scene and changed the things.
Hallelujah.
There's been a lot of you that the doctor said, there's no hope for you. I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. They were looking, by the very best of their ability, they were looking at their charts, they were looking at their diagnosis, they were looking at their medical books, and in the history of all the time they could look back and see cases like that and comparisons, they were trying their very best to give you the best diagnosis that they could. And with what they were looking at tangibly, they were absolutely right. But faith doesn't just look at what we can see, but
Amen.
Faith looks beyond to what isn't seen.
Amen.
Faith looks beyond and calls those things which are not as though they are.
Amen.
Oh my. Faith looks beyond the circumstance. Faith looks beyond whatever the diagnosis is. Faith looks beyond the symptoms. Faith anchors and said, this is what the word said. This is what the doctor said. No doubt he's a good man. No doubt he's doing the best that he knows how by what he's looking at. But this is what the word of God says.
Amen.
When the doctors have done all they can do, I appreciate doctors. You know, back in Pentecost, there were a lot of preachers that told you not to go to the doctor and not to take medicine. But I think thank God we had a prophet in this age that he said, God heals through medicine.
Right.
God heals through doctors. He said, God heals through touch. He said, even a wild animal and things out here, you see some of these guys that are horse whisperers and different things, they'll just go up and touch that horse. And by the feeling of that touch, it gets a connection there. He said, God heals through touch. He said, God heals through music. He said, God heals through love. He said, my, you just a little bit of love stretched over a place where there's bitterness or malice or things like that. He said, a little bit of love, God heals through that way. God also heals through his word. He heals through divine healing. He heals through miracles. He heals through so many different ways. I don't want to cut off an avenue and say, God, you can only come through this avenue, or I don't want to accept it. Many times he'll let your stubborn self sit right there until you're ready to accept it any way he wants to send it.
Amen.
But when the doctors have done all that they can do, when the medicine has done all that it can do, we have a higher source.
Amen.
Brother Furman sings that song, I have a source that I can go to.
Right.
Amen. We have a source tonight. We have a great physician. When the earthly physicians have done all that they can do, we have a great physician that has a higher authority and a higher power. I appreciate what they can do, but I don't just stop there. Brother Branham said, Brother Bosworth, when his son was there in the hospital, and Brother Branham came in and prayed for him, he said that chart, the little diagram there, and the little blipping of the needle on the thing that they were looking at, he said it didn't change one bit. Didn't change. His symptoms hadn't changed. His diagnosis hadn't changed. His circumstances hadn't changed. But Brother Bosworth went over and began to hug his wife and to cry. He said, oh, isn't it wonderful, honey? Said he's healed. And the little nurse said, sir, I don't mean to be contradictory here, but she said, you see this little diagram here? Said once the EKG has gone down this low, we've never seen it come back again. He just patted her on the shoulder. He said, honey, he said, I appreciate that. He said, you're doing the best that you know how to do. You're looking at what you've been taught.
Right.
And he said, but we're not looking at that. We're looking at Calvary.
Amen.
We're looking at a finished work. We're looking at a promise.
Amen.
Amen. Trying to do God a service, 1965, he says, you believe it, but just to believe it is not enough. I believe that my wife was a good girl. I know her father, her mother. I know her for years and years. She walked a straight life. I believe that she was a good woman, but that didn't make her mine. She never become mine until I accepted her. She accepted me. He said, now Jesus wants to accept you. Won't you accept him and become part of his word?
Amen.
It's not just enough to say, I believe it. It's not just enough to be associated around it. You've got to become a part of him, and he's got to become a part of you.
Amen.
It's got to be a living reality in your life. It's got to be more than so-and-so said, more than well, this is just what Brother Nathan teaches, or, well, this is what we heard on the tapes, or, well, this is what my grandfather taught me as a little boy on my knee. That's wonderful, but God don't have grandchildren. It's got to be a personal experience for you. It's got to be something that comes down on the inside that you know, that you know, that you know.
Right.
That you know something has changed in your life. That you know that you've touched the hem of his garment and that things are going to be different. Doesn't matter what the circumstance or the symptom looks like. That you know, Lord, I was in your presence and I accepted it by faith and I'm walking forward. Amen. It's got to be more than an intellectual faith. It's got to be more than just a memorizing of it. It's wonderful to memorize the scripture, but what good is it to have them in your memory if you're not going to live them in your life?
Amen.
Brother Branham said it's one thing to preach a sermon. He said it's another thing to live a sermon.
Yes.
We turned on the radio on the way home today, and I forget what it was, Southern Gospel song came on, said something about your walk and your talk, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Amen. Brother Branham said there's a lot of people, he said, you may have a testimony, but he said, your life speaks so loud, I can't hear your testimony.
Nice.
He said, oh, bless God, Brother Nathan, God's done this for me, and God's done that for me, and I sure am. I've just died out to the things of the world, and I'm living the best that I know how, and I'm moving forward in God, and then look around and see the things on your bookshelves and different things, and think, oh my, well, your testimony is speaking louder than your words. The life that you're living is speaking louder than what the vocal cords are echoing back. You can say what you want. You can memorize what you want. Until that life begins to line up with it, what good is it doing you? What good did it do Judas to go around and say, I'm a disciple. Jesus called me. I believe he's the Messiah. Peter was just talking the other day about how that he was the Son of God. And you know what? Jesus told him that flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him. But he said, you know, I've kind of got to study, and I think intellectually I can understand where Peter's coming from. And I think I can see that in the Word. I think I agree with that intellectually. And, you know, Jesus sent me out, and I've had some great healing campaigns, and I've done this and I've done that. And, oh my, I believe he's a good man. What good did it do Judas? He could talk all that he wanted, but his walk didn't match his talk. Amen. I don't want to be a professor tonight. I want to be a possessor. I don't want to just go and profess things. Oh, I believe the message, and I'm a Christian, and I'm this, and I'm that. That's wonderful. That's wonderful to get that far, but it takes a little deeper than that. There's multitudes that are falling away to the left and to the right that they did all those things. They came out of Egypt, whatever their Egypt was. They came off of their bar stool, or they came out of their denomination, and they wandered in the wilderness with us for 40 years. But then something else turned them aside. The tickling ears of the teaching of Balaam, the tickling of the ear of the doctrine of Dathan and Korah, mm-hmm. It began to sway them. And they began to say, you know, I never thought about that. You know, there's a lot of questions that Dathan and Korah have brought up that I can't reconcile about Moses' ministry. You know, and they're right. There are other men that are anointed besides him. And, well, I just don't understand. You know, these are good, godly men. My grandmother knew these men. And they've got some extraordinary teaching. And some of the things they're bringing out, I've just never seen it that way. And they walked away from the vindicated message. But yet they walked right out of Egypt saying, I believe God sent a prophet. Saying, oh my, we've got to deliver. We're Israelites. We're the children of God. We're the called out. All that generation died out because they couldn't go on and fully possess what God was trying to give them. They could do a lot of this, a lot of arguing in the wilderness, a lot of bickering back and forth about whose doctrine was right and whose doctrine was wrong, but they couldn't go on and take the land. So what did God do? He just let them die off and raised up another generation. Oh my, I think we would have been a lot further on if we would have stopped our wandering around the wilderness and our questioning and arguing and bickering and just said, Lord, I lay it all down right here before you. I accept it. I believe it. If I'm not living up to it, if there's places in my life, rough spots and things, that when I look into the mirror of your word, I recognize that this doesn't match. Don't try to change the word to match your life. That'll never work. There's a lot of people. They've cut out a Baptist pattern, or they've cut out a Methodist pattern. They've cut out a Pentecostal pattern, or they've cut out a Catholic pattern, and they thought, oh, my, I can make my life just match that just perfectly. I don't want some denominational pattern.
Amen.
One man that left the message, he said, we're going to serve an easier Jesus. I don't want his Baptist Jesus. I don't want their Methodist Jesus or their Catholic Jesus. I want the Jesus of the Word. Amen. I don't want a Jesus that they don't even know how to baptize in his name, yet they're saying they're following Jesus. They don't recognize what was done. They don't even recognize who Jesus really was. Why would I want their Jesus? He's not the Jesus of the Bible. He's the Jesus of a man-made pattern that they've cut him out and said, well, we want a Jesus that he doesn't condemn the homosexual, and he doesn't care if we cut our hair, and if we wear our skirts way above our knees, he doesn't really mind. He still loves us anyhow, and he just does this and he does that. And they cut out a God of their imagination. I don't want a God of some man-made imagination. I want the God of the Word. I want the God of what he said, whatever he said went. And when he went in there, oh yes, he was lovely and he was humble. He was meek and lowly. But there came a time he bound the cords and he ran them out of the temple there because they wasn't toeing the line with the Word of God. I want to live up to his pattern of the Word. I don't want to make my life say, well, I'd really like to do this, so I'm just going to change the pattern of the Word a little bit. No, God, may you come and just shave off all the rough edges. Take out all the Nathan Bryan out of me so that my life will match the pattern of his Word.
Amen.
Amen. Is that your desire tonight? Read your name into it tonight. God, I want my life to match the pattern of your Word. I want to live it. I don't want to just profess it and say that I believe it. That's wonderful, but the devil's got that far. We've got to take it further than that. But a life that's lived. What did Brother Branham say? We've read it here many times before. He said, oh, how we need in Jeffersonville tonight thousands of lived voices.
Amen.
Not professors, not theologians, not somebody that goes about and says, I'm a believer, but lives any kind of a life. Lived voices. He said, that's the thunder that shakes the enemy. That's the thunder that'll shake the enemy. That's what we need around Jeffersonville, New Albany, Louisville, Kentucky, Sellersburg, Indiana, all these different places, wherever your zip code is. That's what we need. Thousands of lived voices. Not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. You're blessed tonight. Why? Because you're not just a hearer, but you're a doer.
Amen.
Amen. God help us. If the brothers, sisters would come to the music tonight. I want to be a doer of the Word. Amen. If I see somewhere in the Word that I recognize, Lord, my life just isn't matching that exactly. I see the way Brother Branham said that. I see the way St. Paul taught that. I see the different things in your Word. We'll look at some of the things that Jesus taught in the coming weeks on these things of being blessed. Many of us, many times, not intentionally, but many times we come up so short from the simple things that Jesus taught us to do. But when I see those places in my life, I don't want to just say, well, God, that's just how I am. That's just the Bryant coming out in me, or that's just the Gibson coming out in me, or that's just this, that, or the other. No, I want to say, God, you change me.
Amen.
You change me to match my Word, your Word, rather. You change me to match the Word.
Yes.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, our prayer tonight is truly that we wouldn't just hear the words, that we wouldn't just come to church and sit together and hear a tape or hear a minister, hear the singing. Lord, that's wonderful. There's many that can come and sit and hear. There are many that sat and heard Moses. There are many that sat and heard St. Paul. There are many that sat, the Word said there were multitudes, thousands of people that sat on the hillside when you climbed up, turned around, and sat down on the hill and began to teach these Beatitudes. Thousands of them sat and heard you. But what a small minority actually applied what you was telling them. Some of them had too much pride. Some of them had too much bitterness. Some of them had too many things on their agenda. They had too busy of a schedule to stop and really follow what you were teaching. Some of them, it was too unpopular. Their Pharisee denomination or their Sadducee denomination would have kicked them out if they would have followed what you taught them. So they turned and walked away. They heard, with the same kind of auditory senses that we have. They saw you in a flesh body with the same type of eyeballs that we have. They saw and they heard, but they couldn't be a doer of the word. Lord, it's a blessing to see and to hear, but help us not to stop there. Help us to go on and be a doer of the word. Lord, even sometimes if it seems like it takes the hide off of us, Lord, to be able to change into the pattern that you've laid out for us. Lord, if it takes hours upon hours of dying out to ourselves in our prayer closets, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, take all the dross out. Take all the rough spots, Lord, and Lord, may you just begin to mold us and reshape us. Take us back to the potter's house. Lord, you had an image in your mind when you created us of what we would be. Brother Branham said, you took a picture of us before the foundation of the world of what you had in your mind for us. Lord, when we look into the mirror of your word and we recognize we're not shaping up to that image that you had in your mind of what we should be as sons and daughters of God, help us, Father. Help us to run quickly and find an altar or a prayer closet somewhere and say, God, take these things out of my life that are unbecoming to you. I don't want to just hear what your word says, but I want to take it and apply it to my life. I don't want to just hear a list of do's and don'ts, Father, but I want to become your word. May your word be manifested in us, Father. Lord, help us to trim our lamps. Lord, the hour is at hand. The hour is late. It's not playing around time. Lord, it's checking up time. It's getting ready time. Give us a greater desire to be more like you than we've ever had. Give us a greater burden on our heart for lost souls than we've ever had. Lord, help us to have an urgency and a sincerity. Lord, that it's time to set aside everything else. Make sure, Lord, that we're matching the pattern that you've laid out for us in the word. That when we look into the mirror of the word, that we're seeing a reflection that would be becoming of a Christian. That we're living a life that's worthy of the gospel. Lord, that when we would go about our jobs, Lord, that people could see a life lived. Many of them will never pick up a book or a tape, but they'll see a life that was lived. Lord, help us to be salty so that they would become thirsty. Help us, Lord, even on social media, the things that we would post, whether it be a picture or a comment or some statement, Father, help us to be, Lord, cognizant of the things that others will take from that. That there may be unbelievers, that there may be lost loved ones, that there may be those that are running, that they're looking, and they're trying to find an example somewhere. They're trying to find a lived life. They're trying to find something real in all of the false out here. Many of them are watching our lives, Father. Brother Branham taught us that somebody's watching us. They're looking to see if we truly believe what we say that we do, if we're truly going to live it. Oh, help us, Lord, to recognize these things. Help us to be so careful, Lord, that we wouldn't be a stumbling block to somebody else. Lord, help the sisters, Lord, the way that they dress and, Lord, all that they do, Father, may it be something that would be pleasing to you. May it be something, Lord, that would never be a stumbling block to another brother or to somebody out here in the world, Lord, that would look at them in the wrong way. Help them to be, Lord, just to recognize the spirits of the age and the perversion and the lust that goes on out here. May they present themselves as a living sacrifice to you. Lord Jesus, help us to die out to our thoughts. Help us, brothers, Lord, to watch our conversations and our actions. Lord, help us not to say anything that would bring a reproach on your word, that would bring a reproach, Father, on the standard that we're trying to set before the people. Lord, not that we're something, not that we're some self-righteous something, Lord, but because we believe this and we profess this, we want to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Help us to watch our conversations at our jobs with brothers and different things. Lord, help it not to be something that would be unpleasing to you. Oh, help us not to begin to flirt around with things of the world and see how close we can get to the edge. But Lord, help us to run to Goshen while there's still a Goshen to be had. Help us to cling to your cross. Lord, not just Sundays and Wednesdays, but every day of the week, Father, may we keep you before us. May we keep your word upon our heart, Father. Lord, may we live a life worthy of the gospel. Lord, help us to be written epistles, read of all men. Lord, maybe one that would never turn the pages of a Bible, but they can see the word in action in our life. Maybe one that's never heard a tape or never came across a book, but they could see the message being lived in Laodicea. It would make them thirsty enough to ask us, why do you live the way that you live? What is it that you believe? What is it that makes you different than the rest? We can tell them we're a child of the King. There's something different about us because we know where we came from. We have representation over there. Lord, what we are over there, your prophet said, is what will be over here. That same spirit doesn't change our spirit, just changes our dwelling place. Help us, Lord Jesus. If we're doing things, Lord, that could have no representation over there, Lord, help us to quickly make it right, Father. Lord, help us to be true representatives of your kingdom, we pray. Be with each individual here tonight, Father. Just give us a closer relationship with you, a deeper walk with you. Help us not to get a stuffed shirt and stick our nose up in the air just because we believe the truth in this age. Satan believes it just as much as we do, but he can't live it. It can't be manifested in his life. It's never become a true revelation to him personally. He can understand it intellectually maybe better than we can. But Lord, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be a revelation that's quickened. Oh, Father, help us. Your prophet said we should seek God for revelation more than anything, because it's revelation that gives us power over the enemy. Not just a doctrine or a creed or a dogma, but true revelation in our life. He said that with that the gates of hell wouldn't stand against us, but we would prevail over them. Oh, God, give us revelation. And let it anchor down within our soul. Lord, may it just anchor so on the word, Father, that the shifting sands of man's opinions or ideas or popularity could never shake it from us, Father. Lord, we cling to you tonight. We cling to your word because you are the word. We love you, Father. We thank you because you do all things well. Lord, I don't know, Lord, how many needed this tonight. Lord, maybe some of them needed correction. Maybe some of them needed encouragement. I don't know what they have need of tonight, Father, but you do. Lord, may you just quicken it to their hearts tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, Lord. Be with each one of us as we go our separate ways. Protect us. Keep us safe, Father. Help us to live a life worthy. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Lord, may it not just be a Sunday or a Wednesday gospel, but Lord, may it be a lived life that we can be your representative here on the earth every day. Help us to die out to our own ideas and our own desires and live your word. Oh, Lord, you chose us. You called us. You elected us. Lord, help us not to take that for granted. But help us to recognize, Lord, that there are others that are looking and watching and trying to see what it is that we really stand for. Help us, Lord, to be a true representative, Father. Thank you tonight, Father, for these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You love him tonight. Amen. Let's sing that together. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see he's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, he's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. The trial of this world was getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. Oh, and I was on giving over, 'cause the strength within myself just wasn't there. Oh, but something keeps holding me. Every day I see he's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me close. Satan laid before me his temptation, for it was his desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but thank God I have found in time this great revelation. Oh, it was the strength I need to keep me in his grace. Oh, something keeps holding me every day I see. Oh, he's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, thank you, Father. Something keeps holding me. Let's sing it again. Oh, something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials.
Sing it to him.
Oh, shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Oh, let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Oh, shine on me, Lord, shine. Looking at me, oh, when he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart, it was so black by sin. Oh, he was looking at the blood, it's flowing rich and free. Oh, that precious covers me. He wasn't looking. looking at me when he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart, it was black by sin. He was looking at the blood flowing rich and free, that precious looking at me. Oh, when he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart that was black by sin. He was looking at the blood flowing rich and looking at me. Oh, when he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart, it was black by sin. He was looking at the blood, it's flowing rich and free, precious blood.
God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go.
He wasn't looking at me, oh, when he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart that was black by sin. Oh, he was looking at the blood, it's flowing rich and free. Well, that precious blood that covers. Looking at me, oh, when he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart, it was so black by sin. Oh, he was looking at the blood, it's flowing rich and free, that precious blood.